In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Blessed Feast. One of the 12 great feasts of the Church today. One of the honors we have to actually celebrate it is one of these feasts usually falls during the week, and so we don't get to celebrate. But today we get the feast. Today's feast has no fewer than 4 different names. And every one of those names talks about a different aspect of the feast. And so I'd like us to just go through them, kind of review what this feast is, because we don't often hear about it, the Feast of the Presentation or of the Meeting. First of all, today's feast is called the Presentation of Christ. It's because it commemorates the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ by his mother Mary in the temple of Jerusalem exactly 40 days after Christmas, 40 days after the celebration of the Nativity. We can see it in the icon if you take a look when you come and venerate. There, Christ was brought to the temple by his mother and accompanied by his guardian Joseph, who holds the customary sacrifice, the gospel says today, of 2 turtle doves. In the temple, Christ was carried in the arms of righteous Simeon and watched over by the prophetess Anna. This feast is yet more proof that the Son of God truly became man. This is a feast of the Incarnation, just like the Nativity. For it wasn't a spirit, it wasn't an angel who was brought to the temple, but a little baby, our Savior in the flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. This meeting between the righteous Simeon and Anna and the Savior also has another very common name, the Meeting of the Lord. It was according to a very old tradition in the church that the blessed and righteous Simeon was a very, very old man indeed. He had, according to tradition, been one of the 70 translators of the Old Testament into Greek, of what we know as the Septuagint, the scriptures that we accept. Now think about that. How long ago before this coming of our Lord to the temple was the Septuagint translated? Many years before. And here is this old man, this righteous man, who according to tradition had been an important man in the Church of Israel, having translated the scriptures. And he, having come to the 7th chapter of Isaiah the prophet, it is said, was so smitten by that prophecy that a virgin would conceive and give birth, that he was granted by the Lord the promise that he would live until this very day in which he would be able to hold that Christ in his arms. And it happened. And that is when Simeon speaks those words that we all know so well. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And soon after uttering those words, he departed. Kind of reminds me of a beautiful pastoral call I had made many years ago, first year in my pastoral ministry. And I had this gentleman by the name of Homer. Homer was a very pious man. Homer had a large family. He wasn't outspoken. He didn't go around quoting the scriptures, but he had a deep, abiding faith in his Lord and always took his Lord at his word. And I remember that Homer became very sick. And he was on his deathbed. The last few days, the family called me in and they said, Homer would like to receive Holy Communion before he passes. And I said, certainly. I'll come and I'll pray the prayers of the church before departing. And I remember Homer laying there. And we spoke about this very incident. I said, Homer, you're like Simeon. You've waited for so long upon your Lord. And now your Lord comes to you. He comes to you in his body and his blood right now. And he says, receive me and come and depart. So we did. And I said, let's speak those words together. In the Lutheran service, those words are sung every time after Holy Communion. And so we together spoke the words, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And later that afternoon, I got a call from the family. He had departed peacefully to the Lord. All of us have those very promises that were given to Simeon, also given to us. That when we hold Christ, and when do we hold Christ? Well, again, When are those words spoken in the church? Well, every Vespers service we hear those words sung. But if you listen closely, after we have received the body and blood of Jesus Christ and the prayers of the church for post-communion are read, what is the last thing that we say together before the blessing by our Father? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I've always thought it's the most perfect time that our Lord, if he should come back, we've received him. We've received and heard his word. We've received him physically in his Eucharist. Now, Lord, come and take us. Well, according to the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded to present their male children at the temple in Jerusalem 40 days after their birth. This was to give thanks to God and to pray also for the purification of the mother and the health of the child and of the mother. It was considered that after the vital 40-day period, it was almost certain that mortal danger had now passed for the mother. That's why this feast also has a third name. Not only the presentation and the meeting of our Lord, but of the purification of the Virgin. The Christ child is only 40 days old. The salvation of the world is also dependent upon his mother and upon what she has said. And now it is brought forth to the temple to consecrate. This is why, although the feast is also a feast of our Lord, it is a feast of Mary, and why we have blue on the altar to remind us, for blue is the color of Mary. In our New Testament times, we have the custom of churching. Remember, how do we bring our children? Every time a child is born, there's a time period of 40 days, and then that child is brought into the presence of God. But now it is not like the Old Testament, only the boys who are brought, but all of our children. However, today they are also presented not only as a sacrifice of their life to Christ, but they are presented for baptism, for chrismation, and to receive their first Holy Communion. Secondly, the church also, during this great time when our mothers are brought forward, receive prayers not only for purification, but also for the physical safety and thanksgiving for the safety that that woman has been brought safely through childbirth. It is also to ward off what is known among mothers as postpartum depression. For the church shows it is very pro-mother and pro-family in these prayers. The presentation, the meeting, the purification, all three names, but there is a fourth one that is often not known among us in the Eastern rite of the church, but is well known in the Western church. It is called Candlemas. This name was given to the feast in memory of the Roman custom of lighting candles, which recalls the lights in the Temple of Jerusalem. The custom actually spread from the Western Church into Russia. That is why in today's Russian churches, Russian-originated churches such as the OCA and Rokor and the Patriarchal Church, and those of you who are from Russia may remember the blessing of candles would take place on this day as well. Candlemas is connected with popular sayings. What also is today secularly, February 2nd?
Groundhog's Day.
Well, the church kind of had a predecessor to Groundhog's Day in Candlemas. There were sayings like this: if Candlemas be fair and bright, winter shall have another flight. Well, more importantly, we have the light of Christ, as Simeon himself confessed, and that is why candles are often used in some parts of the church and blessed. But what does the feast mean for us today? Well, since it's exactly 40 days since Christmas, it's probably time for us to think about these last 40 days. The church gives us these periods of feast and fast also so that we can think about our inner being. What today can we present at the temple of Christ as was presented in Christ himself? In what condition do we present our souls to Christ in his temple? What sacrifices have we made in the last 40 days? Have we begun cultivating a new virtue, perhaps? We often in the secular world say, New Year's, we have a New Year's resolution. But we've had 40 days to think, What are the things that we need to be working on in our own spiritual lives? What have we presented to the Lord? Lord, this is what we give to you and what we wish to do. Have we attempted to give up an old vice? Have we taken time to go to confession? Even though it's a feast time, it is still a time to be filled with the light of Christ. Have we kept the fast of the church, continuing, though it is even a feast time? Have we read our prayers? Have we, as Father, oftentimes when he gives us those words after confession, have we taken time to read the scriptures every day? It's not just a Protestant thing. It's more importantly a Christian thing, that we open Holy Scripture and we be like Simeon, who knew those scriptures backwards and forwards, and that's why he held to that promise. And he was given those extra years to repent and finally hold Christ. We should be also reading scripture just as diligently, not just in the fast, but in the feasts. Have we been a Christian example to our neighbors, especially to those who are difficult people in our lives? Have we thanked God for all we've received? What progress have we made in this time of the feast of 40 days? Whatever our answers to these questions, we have yet another opportunity coming. And that is why this feast stands in a pivotal time in the church. 40 days after the feast, the nativity time is ending. But what are we looking forward to? What are we preparing for beginning next week? Another 40 days. The 40 days of the feast now give way to the 40 days of the fast soon. And think about it this day. Our Lord and Savior was brought into the temple and offered up as a sacrifice even there to point us forward to what he has come for, what we are about to prepare for over the 40 days of the fast of Lent. Let us look forward. Let us prepare with the diligence and the faith of Simeon and be able to say again at the end of that time, if our Lord should choose to come in our own personal life or in our world, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.